Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where we dive deep into the transformative world of public speaking and its profound impact on success trajectories across professional landscapes and business ecosystems. Our mission is to illuminate the path to greatness through the art of communication, and we showcase individuals who've not only reached the zenith of their industries, but also wield the power of speech to captivate, motivate, and elevate. Today, we unfold yet another chapter of brilliance, perseverance, and strategic innovation with a special guest whose journey is nothing short of a cinematic vision quest. I'm thrilled to introduce Richard Blank, the mastermind and chief executive officer of officially named Costa Rica's call center, a beacon of business process outsourcing that has redefined the concept of customer relations and corporate communication beyond borders. From the hustling metropolis of San Jose, Richard embarked on an expedition fueled by entrepreneurial spirit and cultural curiosity at the young age of 27. Not confined by geographical borders or cultural barriers, he embraced the essence of Costa Rica and channeled his intrinsic knack for motivational ovation to train over 10,000 bilingual telemarketers, setting a gold standard in the industry. But what makes Richard's story fascinating is not just his corporate conquests. Picture this: a dazzling array of American pinball machines partnered with the nostalgic rhythms of antique Rockola jukeboxes. Richard has curated the largest collection of these restored marvels in Central America, embedding gamification deeply into the heart of CCC's culture. It's a testament to his ingenuity, creating an environment where work dovetails with play, fostering a workplace ambiance where inspiration thrives and monotony has no refuge. Since 2008, Richard has steered Costa Rica's call center through economic waves with steadfast leadership and an unquenchable thirst for excellence. His approach to leadership, much like his public speaking, is tactful, engaging, and contagiously motivational, making him not just a successful CEO, but a trendsetter in the truest sense of the word. As we settle into this conversation, expect a journey through time and experience, touching on the nuances of effective communication, the bridging of cross-cultural divides, and the visionary foresight it takes to stay ahead in the global game. Without further ado, welcome Richard Blank onto the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.
For Speaker Spotlight, I'm speechless. That was an incredible bio. Your delivery was perfect. I'm flattered. And Kelly, I can't thank you enough. You're an amazing person. The communication prior to this podcast was just building up on the anticipation and momentum. And my friend, here we are today.
Wow, thank you. This is great. I really am so excited to have you on the show. And I really want to hear about this journey. Can you walk us through the moment, or what were the series of events that inspired you to move to Costa Rica? Not like I can't imagine it in my own mind. And tell me about the early days in San Jose. What were some of the unexpected challenges that you faced?
Of course. I'm originally from Northeast Philadelphia. And when I graduated the proud Abington High School back in 91, I decided to be a Spanish major. I didn't fall into the traps or the pressures of following in certain footsteps and expectations. I didn't have the grades to go to Harvard or Washington and Lee or Yale, and I didn't have the maturity to study law or medicine, but I knew my passion. And so when I was at the University of Arizona, what I did was I interned for Telemundo. It allowed me to do some public speaking. I actually did a Javelina Cantina chili eating contest for the Tucson Toros. So I got a chance to speak in front of 5,000 people. And then when Miguel Quintana came into Tucson, he was a big newscaster out of Los Angeles. He and I were participating in the spring fair at the University of Arizona, Spring Fling. And so we were on stage doing the Telemundo promotions. And so little by little, without that sort of salary pressures or business pressures, I was able to intern and get that experience in public speaking, which once again gave me that momentum. But yo, Kelly, when I was 27 years old, I was given a one in a million opportunity. A really good friend of mine owned a call center here, wanted me to come down for just a couple months to teach English. Once you can get past your parents' guilt, right? And you can live anywhere in the world. And so I decided to live in paradise. This is better than Gilligan's Island. Of course, I wanted to stay here. And I fell in love and married the girl of my dreams. Fortunately, I started a business 16 years ago. And sometimes the stars are aligned. And when that happens, you need to really follow through on your destiny.
Wow. What an adventure. I can tell already you are an adventurer, truly like the definition of adventure. So when you got there and you set this up or you got involved with this company, what do you think, what do we attribute to you? What unique business strategies do you think really contributed to the Costa Rica's call center success under your leadership? What was the specific project or campaign or something that you did that really challenged industry norms? I really want to hear about that.
That's a very intelligent question. Let me answer the other one earlier, the challenges of when I first got here, being a guest in this country, right? It's a strict Catholic country. Spanish was my native tongue. And I'm 3,000 miles away from my mother. So I really needed to know my P's and Q's and be very open-minded. It makes you humble and grounded. I was prepared because I spoke Spanish. So I had a lot more advantages than just other people that are here on vacation and just winging it. And also I had friends here. So really, in essence, I had a support group. But I also realized that I needed to expand. So I needed local contacts to assist me on where to go, what to do, how to save money, to stay out of trouble and to enjoy yourself. And so it's really about aligning yourselves with the right people. But here's the thing. When I worked at my friend's company, I did not start at sea level. Kelly, I really started from the inside out. And so when you sit with the proletariat and you break bread with them and you're with them on rainy Wednesdays, you really get that million-dollar bit of advice that you don't receive when you're in ivory towers or you isolate or separate yourself from the people. And the million-dollar bit of advice that I can give anybody is just to extend empathy and be sincere about it. People don't want to feel expendable, and don't just start calling someone champ. Let Kelly know why she is the champ, that she did 44 sales last week and you heard the call with Mrs. Jones. And so when you give that sort of sincere compliment, it comes back. And I've realized that when they know my name, I play pinball with them, I break bread with them, and do training and soft skills, that's enough to filter out the people that want to be in large centers and lose themselves. I can find people here that want delegation. They want to grow. They want additional responsibilities and they can master levels. And so not saying that I was a bad kid. I was not even mischievous. I was just curious. So I'm always looking for that young 20-year-old with a little gleam in their eye that might not have the structure and discipline, but they have the desire. And so what I can do is get rid of bad habits and instill good habits like a squire to a knight. And so by learning it that way, sitting with the people for 4 years, it enabled me to be part of them. And I skipped steps. I didn't go from agent to supervisor, manager. I went from agent to owner. So I never got tainted. I never played those office politics. I always kept what I did pure. And I think that's assisted me in being able to have this business for so many years.
I love that, Richard. I can tell this is so personal to you. This is your work. I can tell this is personal. It's what makes the difference, especially with the people working with you and not for you. Totally different experience. I'd have to jump then. I'd have to ask you about building a bridge between business process outsourcing and employee satisfaction. That can be really super challenging, but I love that you integrated gamification in your workplace. And what's fascinating is the choice of incorporating classic American entertainment pieces into your company culture. That had to have impacted morale. And how do you think it's affected the success of your company?
Kelly, wasn't your favorite class back in the day recess? Was mine. I loved recess. And so when you're an adult, why is that taken away from you? And they always find it funny when an adult goes into a bouncy house or something. Why not? We all should be Tom Hanks in the movie Big. And so I decided that a portion of my building and my business would be dedicated to these machines. I know they're large, but it's also something that the agents have never tried before or seen before. So it's unique for them. It's a medium. It's a happy medium. It allows them this certain space to let off steam, recharge batteries, meet others from other departments, hang out with me. Kelly, I've seen people fall in love by the Pac-Man machine. That's the craziest thing. But I've had clients and potentials white glove me and critique me. And they say, why don't you use that space for additional computers locker or some sort of business related stuff? And I say, yo, body, you have your business. I have mine. And I've decided that I would like to invest this space into this. But also in this industry, there is a large attrition. People burn out. I see the art of speech. If you can, por lo menos, at least get something out of these phone calls. You're not just grinding it out, carpet bombing and earning a paycheck and hoping you don't get fired. There are certain metrics in this industry that they gauge you on, from talk time, calls, contacts, conversion ratios, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like a commissioned artist. I'd rather have somebody not make 100 phone calls a day, Kelly, and do about 80. Why? Because they're speaking on the phone for a couple more minutes talking about how amazing your life is. And so the metrics just go out of whack. But these are unbelievable players like a Michael Jordan or a Dennis Rodman. They're just so unique, sometimes unorthodox. And so you got to allow them to be in their structure, but not have them in a cage because their wings can't expand. It's tough to tell. You're talking about morale and you're talking about people that want that satisfaction. You're talking about a grind, outbound calls, inbound calls, people pissed off, retention, customer support. But I think if you take it one call at a time, a couple seconds at a time, you really break it down and you have checkpoints and you use these positive soft skills, active listening, meeting minutes, transitional sentences. It's a beautiful dance. And I've seen things that turned out to be a terrible call in the beginning, but an amazing client at the end. And the greatest goal that somebody can get, and it's not financial, it's a positive escalation. It's when a client does it verbally or in writing, and they will let me know how amazing Kelly is. And that's a beautiful circle, because if you're building a pipeline and calling companies back, if you start complimenting those that have assisted you and gave you the pass to pitch to get through to the business owner, don't be surprised if they don't add momentum and guide you into closing that deal. So unlike what you've seen in The Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room and Glengarry Glen Ross, yeah, some centers do that, but we don't do that here. A lot of individuals, really, what they do is they can go home and tell their parents what they do for a living. And they're very proud of the customer support that they're giving. And I'd like to maybe shatter some misconceptions on what people have and what they do. But in regards to public speaking as well, I've trained over 10,000 people. Now, public speaking, if it's two people, that's public, and one is just one-on-one. So I've had classes as small as one up to 100 people. But over the course of two decades, I've literally had this sort of interaction with people. And I understand what it takes to jump clouds and to keep the excitement and to have checkpoints so people aren't yawning or falling asleep during these classes. And it's a good time. I've learned to make them more marketable and enhance their skills.
I love what you're saying, and it translates across other industries as well. It's that sales, you know, anybody that's in sales, it can really be a grind. I've had people say, oh no, limited, if you're just meeting them, 30 minutes tops, you can't be wasting your time. And I say, get out of my way. If I'm going to meet someone, I do a lot of corporate acquisition and a lot of sponsor acquisition and dealing with sales a lot. And really, the first half hour is really my opportunity to get to know you. And the second half hour is you getting to know what I'm about, whether you trust me. And somewhere in that last 20 to 30 minutes is where the magic happens, where the connection happens, right? That's where, and then it has meaning. That conversation had meaning. It changes you. Boy, you're setting the perfect example out there in a field that's pretty tough, call centers. That's really, like you said, that can be a real grind. You get a lot of rejection.
But the beauty of it is, Kelly, you'll never know the sweet without the sour, the light without the dark. How do you know the conversion without the rejection? But the rejection, let's talk about this for a second. I believe in romantic deaths. Why? So I can maintain my mind so I can continue to jump clouds on these calls. Let me give you an example. First 30 seconds, because I'm not going to give you a 10-minute call because 10-minute calls don't exist. I think you need to buy time on these calls. In the first 30 seconds, what I love to do is a company name spike. I'll call up and say, hey, how's the six-figure speaker spotlight doing today? I'll say that better than you do. And then when you ask who I am, but not in a negative way, they're like, who are you compared to who are you? And I say, that's an excellent question. My name is Richard Blank, Costa Rica's call center. And so what I can do is I can buffer negative tones, repeat the question, answer it, and send it back. And so these are ways to just readjustment before you get to pass the pitch. Now, what happens if they hang up on you? At least you said a company name spike. You're not anonymous the whole call. That's shady. But the first impression you should get in the first couple of seconds is you saying the name of that company to get them out of that trance. Why do I do this? At least I get one win. What do you mean? I didn't get shut out. What do you mean? I said your name, the name of the company. I properly introduced myself and I sounded great. It just so happens something happened. And if you can do this 100 times a day, you can keep that pace. You're not going to cramp. It's the price you pay if you're a boxer. You're going to take one in the chin every now and again. It depends on what you want to do with it. Now, when I get transferred and I give this positive escalation verbally before I get transferred to you and I let the owner know you're great in writing, as I mentioned, if I call your company back, it's a company circle. It's a Richard circle. And so it makes doing these things much easier. And the fact that people label gatekeepers, that's their job. They just can't have an open door for anybody to come in. There's only a certain time during the day. What I can do is to calm down, slow down, and at least give myself from an educated point of view a chance. I'll sell some sizzle, but I'm not just a dancing monkey next to an accordion. I actually need to have some sort of structure on these calls. But you mentioned something beautiful. Due diligence. If you're going to a cocktail party, or meeting someone for the first time. If you look at a website or a LinkedIn profile, you can almost start on third base and have five anchoring things in common with them. So you're avoiding any sort of small talk, and you can make custom emails and voicemails. And these are the things to assist you as well.
It's so true. You can make custom intros. You can set your people apart because you did the research first. And you got to know them before you got them. I couldn't agree with you more. And I love that you have a focus on reviews and people calling the company again. People are so quick to send a negative review. That's just negative energy. I love to send the positive review that says, I had a wonderful experience with your person and I wanted you to know about it. What feels better? It actually feeds me. I love to be able to do that. So I love that's a focus for you as well. So tell me, with public speaking, and obviously I can tell already you're a brilliant orator, but in what ways do you think your public speaking engagements outside of your company have elevated your business's stature out there within the BPO industry?
That's a wonderful question. I'm not a one-trick pony. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So I was able to speak for the Montclair State University, Feliciano School of Business. I did a public speaking for them, which was a huge compliment for their graduate students. I was just inducted into the Abington 2023 Hall of Fame for Business.
Congratulations.
I got a chance to go back to my hometown. Thank you, my friend, and speak there. And so really what it is, it's not these engagements. It's not even acceptance. It's the society deems you as worthy enough to pay it forward and share. And the also interesting thing is my age. The fact that I have this wisdom, I have this experience. I had the vigor when I was young, I just didn't have the scars. And so a lot of your speeches have to accept where you're at in your time. I'm bald and I'm gray. That's great, but I'm still trying to pay it forward one way or another. So I have accepted the fact that I'm the wise one by the fire telling tall tales. And I also believe in selected diplomatic and strategic vocabulary. It's very important, your rhetoric. And so I don't like using profanity unless it's in locker rooms and things like that. But I like the thesaurus. There's always ways to power up words and you can avoid any sort of ego defense. I hate the word help. I prefer using assist, guide, or lend a hand. Instead of Kelly, excuse me, I'll fall on that sword. I'll say, Kelly, for my clarification. Oh, come on. These are little first down wins. And so what I can do is your dog's barking at your bad cell phone. You're all over the place. But I'm going to say for my clarification, just to make sure that you're calm and cool. I love the military alphabet. So emails don't bounce back. And I learn how to pronounce your exotic name well, because I'm probably the first one to ask you. There's no embarrassment to that. It's cool. It's almost like a beauty mark. You might as well enhance that. There, my friend, there are such trigger words where there are certain images you will find on people's websites that I think you should relate to. I never really look for the academics or what you've done professionally. That really doesn't help me because I might not understand it. But if I saw that you play ice hockey or that you love NXS or like myself, pinball machines, and I'm starting there. There's a chance I might get some good wins and possibly buy myself 3 minutes worth of time to properly introduce myself and let the cards fall as they may. But everyone's too stiff. They're prints. And Kelly, I believe that you should be a painting. On every single phone call and interaction that you need, people need to see the brushstrokes, okay? And they need to know that each one has the 10% wiggle, that zig and zag, the wild card. And if you catch it, you got it. And that's what I'm always looking for on these calls.
Oh, you're a brilliant orator. You are just a fantastic communicator. I could listen to you all day.
Oh, thank you.
I'm telling you, I could listen to you all day. Richard, I hate this. This show's ending too early for me, but I want to tell you it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this show. Much too short. Your journey is, it's not just inspiring, it's really insightful. I think our audience is going to love what you've brought to this. And I think they're still going to be masticating on some of the fabulous verbiage that you've given in this that will make them consider their own in moving forward. And connectivity, you're so strong with that. I can't believe it. I have enjoyed this to no end. And you are truly the essence of the power of effective communication. And really taking a visionary approach in what is really a competitive world of business process outsourcing. Like, that is just such a phrase that is such a turnoff. I don't love it. I know you could come up with such better verbiage than that, but I thank you for your openness and sharing your experiences and the wisdom that you've accrued. Like you said, we've earned our stripes, our wisdom these days. So it's a responsibility to share it. So,
you know, Kelly, one final thought for you and your audience.
Yes.
Just a couple mentors and inspirations for me. If your audience would like to study public speaking, please look into the works of Basil Rathbone, Jeremy Brett, Pierce Brosnan as Remington Steele, and Dirk Benedict as the face man on the A-Team. Those were excellent studies for me. And also, dedicated practice is huge. You're not going to get better unless you do it. Self-analysis is for self-improvement. Since we're speakers, you have the technology to record yourself. Excellent way to look at it. And also, don't be hard on yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and give yourself five. And at the end of the day, when you put your head on your pillow and you have your clear thoughts, just remember, regardless of the outcome, you did everything with the most honorable intentions, and that will allow you to have not a heavy heart and peace of mind.
Richard, thank you. I really feel like we're walking away from this interview with people having a real sense of who you are and how you do what you do and what the possibilities are. And as we wrap up, I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. And if you've enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll give us a thumbs up, because we'd love to hear your thoughts in the review section. Your feedback not only helps us improve, me improve, but also helps others find the show. And if you haven't already, I'd love it if you hit the subscribe button as we grow this. It really makes a difference. And here's where all our episodes, they're here to continue to uncover the secrets of public speaking success and its profound impact on achieving industry leadership. Richard's a real example of that, of someone who does things well. So this is Kelly O'Hara, your host, and I thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, please keep speaking your passion and amplifying your impact and making a difference in the world, because how you do it, that counts. It really counts. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
I want
want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.